I love you.
Woohoo! Welcome back to the Couch Potatoes. I am the Green Traveler from Gorge.
And I am...
down, yada yada.
Woohoo! The Faceless Leon. And this is Green...
You're a prairie dog.
I'm a prairie dog? Okay.
Have you not seen videos of them wahooing? It's so adorable.
Oh, I guess not.
if a prairie dog, I think it's like a sign of, like, they feel safe. Like, you know, they do it to each other in the wild. Like, if prairie dogs call to each other, they're like, wow! I can't do it. I'll go to cough. But it's like a cut-off wahoo. It's like, wow! And they, like, stand straight up.
No, I didn't know that. Well, thanks. I'm glad I could be cute for you. It is the potato pick! Woo-hoo! This is also Green Yay! Faces on the Couch. I don't think I said that. But it's the potato pick, which means one of our Patreon patrons from patreon.com/greenandfaceless has made suggestion that has been voted upon and won for this month for the potato pick.
And finally, what I have been expecting to happen since we opened up this option has finally happened, and that is we're getting trolled, and I love it.
Yes.
Finally.
And who is this from?
Mike Hamilton. Yeah, we love him.
Yeah.
Expert troll of the past. Oh my god. No, he really did a good job here. He dug deep and he chose 50 Shades of Grey and 50 Shades Darker. I don't know why he left out 50 Shades Free, but we included it for free for your entertainment purposes.
He was like, nah, that's too much.
Yeah, he couldn't do it that much pain. Or it was like, that was even next layer of troll, as he knows that I have OCD, so he was just like, I'm just going to offer two of the three just to piss off their OCD. You know,
could be true.
Another thing, by the way, another fun factoid, you don't have to subscribe to our Patreon. Well, that's not true. You don't have to subscribe to our Patreon in regards to money to vote on this. You do have to sign up, like, with Patreon itself to have, like, email account there. But you can tell it not to give you notifications and all that stuff. Like, it's fine.
Or tell it to give you notifications so that you know.
Yeah. We want you to have notifications. I'm just saying that I know that's what's going to draw people away. Is it's going to be like, sign up, and I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking sign up. Just do it, just so you can vote for this, because this is the first time we had a unanimous vote.
Yeah.
Not a single individual voted against 50 Shades Trilogy Triumvirate. You guys rock. I love it. You knew what you wanted.
Well, here we are about to talk about Smut, pretty much.
The daughter of Don Johnson, Nash Bridges, and Miami Vice himself.
Dakota Johnson plays Anastasia Steele. She goes by Anna. In this first movie, she's a college student in English literature. But for some reason, she decides to do an interview for her journalist roommate. I'm not entirely sure why that happens.
She's that's sick, Kate, and she's like, right? I can't do this interview. Yeah, it's Kate Cavanaugh, played by Eloise Mumford, the Mumford and Sons. Not to my knowledge, at least. But yeah, it's just like, that doesn't happen in real life. I'm sorry, a journalist doesn't get sick. And then send their English lit best friend to do it.
I mean, they're college roommates, and who knows what kind of favors they've done for each other.
Right.
But it's still, this would not have happened, and she never would have met.
Especially not introvert Anna Steele. Like,
no.
That girl does not get out. She's very much in her comfort zone reading books. She's my ideal woman in that regard. Dakota Johnson, sorry, you are a beautiful woman, but you're not my type of beautiful woman.
You're beautiful. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
You can have Blake, I guess.
I'm taken, but we'll talk. Anyways.
We'll workshop it. Yeah. Contracts.
contracts. So she meets up with Christian Grey to give him an interview, and he's attracted to her. And, you know, that kind of just spins things off, but it turns out that he's super into BDSM, and he won't be in a relationship without a contract and an NDA. Yeah. Like, she has to sign an NDA before he even starts to talk about the BDSM stuff.
Right.
And then he's like, now I want to have a contract saying that, like, you'll basically do whatever the fuck I want. And she's like, I'm not so sure about that. And then...
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. So they start kind of loosely dating, and she admits she's a virgin, and they fuck, and then they fuck a lot.
Vanilla fuck.
Yeah, the first fuck is pretty vanilla, but then they fuck a lot more. I said fuck a lot.
Oh, yeah.
This is what this movie is.
That's what it is. That's what you're here for.
Should
you
I want say it, have I mean, honestly. Sex? Do you think I should say try to keep to that?
When they're in a relationship, they have sex. When it's beforehand, when it's contract stuff, it's just pure fuck dog. It's raw dog in it. It's
pure fuck.
It's just pure fuck. No, it's very weird. Like, okay, I'm going to be very obvious and honest up front. Most people know I am transitioning. Yeah. I went from having some horniness to basically having no horniness, which is what I wanted. No offense to anybody out there who is a horny individual. Be as horny as you want to be, consensually, of course.
Yes.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. No. However, these two fuck an excessive amount, in my opinion. Like, great for them, honestly. I mean, great for them.
I would.
But it's literally... It's literally all over the place. They get the saddest news imaginable. We gotta fuck. They get a bill in the mail. Honey, we gotta pay the electricity bill. Time to fuck. But, you know, he makes a grilled cheese sandwich. This is a great grilled cheese sandwich. We gotta fuck. Like, it's everything. Like, it is their answer to literally every scene. It's like, oh no, something happened. Hey, put on these handcuffs, babe.
But
like,
did you not expect that? I mean, that's
no, what I did. We were I did. Sold,
I feel like
I know, but I mean, that's my problem. That is a problem with this whole thing, in my opinion. And if you don't know, maybe you do. I'll quiz you. I'll see if you know. Do you know what this trilogy of books by E.L. James started as?
As a fanfic for Twilight, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. most people, I would hope, know that. And I think that's interesting. It's fan fiction. Fan fiction is hilarious. Porn and all that kind of stuff is hilarious because that is the answer, is just fucking. But when it becomes this actual big story thing, when you get to like the second and third movies, and I'm just like, oh my God, stop having sex for everything. Have a conversation. Be two adults.
I want to know at what point the guy that wrote it, I don't remember what
that's a lady.
Oh, I thought it was a man. Sorry.
Erica Mitchell, better known for her as her pen name, E.L. James. I thought her name was E.L. James, so that's interesting. Erica Mitchell.
Okay, well, and they're British, I guess. my apologies for misgendering you. Anyways.
Well, it does seem like it's what a male would write. Like, I am totally understanding where you're coming from. Because it literally is, like, the horniest thing I've ever read. And it's very testosterone-fueled.
It does feel that way, but that, you know, girls are allowed to be horny. I watched this show.
That's true.
Not that long ago, called Love on the Spectrum, and it is about people who live with autism that are looking for love. And this one girl named Danny said, and girls can be horny too. And I just want people to know that.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Attacking anybody for their love of the 50 Shades trilogy. I have read the books.
Right.
I found them to be hilariously bad. and the movie is the exact same. It, in my opinion, is hilariously bad because the dialogue. It's the dialogue.
Yeah, the dialogue. It really comes down to it.
It's so awful. Like, yeah. literally everybody is trying to, like, there's no acting to be had because everybody is telling you everything that's going on in their heads. Yeah, and everything that's going on in their heads is typically something about sex.
I do want to give Dakota Johnson a little bit more credit. I feel like if anybody is doing any kind of acting, it's her. But the rest of them are very, very wooden.
Yeah. And
especially Christian Grey. Oh,
he's very wooden. No, fun fact, I was doing research because I was sick and had nothing else to do. And found out that, hold on, I'm going to pull this factoid up because I sent it to you because I thought it was so hilarious. Christian Grey, if we did not mention, is played by Jamie Dornan. Right. And Jamie Dornan was once famous roommates. Well, I say famous roommates. He was once roommates with a bunch of other famous individuals. How far back was that? Oh, my God. Oh, here we go. Oh, we're talking about aubergines. I found it. Eddie Redmayne. He was roommates with Eddie Redmayne, Andrew Garfield, Robert Pattinson, and Charlie Cox at the same time. That's so Spider-Man, Batman, Daredevil, and Eddie Redmayne.
Newt Scamander.
The original Danish girl.
Wait, did they redo the Danish girl?
No, never mind. I don't know why I said the original. Yeah. No, we can keep it in. I just don't know why I said the original Danish girl. Okay.
So, yeah. It's a weird, interesting movie, I would say. I have a lot more testosterone than you do these days, and I enjoyed those 50. parts. Those parts I did enjoy, I have to say.
I didn't, because it's like, even for softcore porn, it was not exciting. Like,
some of the BDSM, I thought the stuff in the next movies were more exciting, actually.
I did too, and there's a reason for that. We'll get into it when we get there. Let's try to remember to talk about that, because there is something that I enjoy. Out of curiosity, we don't have to be too detailed here, but have you had BDSM? Have you ever practiced any BDSM stuff?
Yeah, some light bondage, I'll say.
Yeah, me too. It's very exciting and interesting. This movie makes it the most boring fucking thing imaginable.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. It is little, but you know, they are really walking a line here to try to keep it rated R.
For me, I guess a lot of it comes in the fact that, like, yes, it is clear that Anna is taking pleasure from it,
right?
But at the same time, it's more just because she's having sex. I don't know. She's not excited in the action, and it doesn't seem like. It really comes, I don't know, it's really hard to tell where her excitement is coming from at times. Because it's like, she's like, ew, I don't want to do this. And yet she just did it in the scene previous and had no fucking issue.
Right.
And then she's like, what in the hell is a butt plug? When the fuck do you think a butt plug is? Like, just think of the two words. Like, it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
And then it's silly. Like, she turns around and she gets spanked in one scene. And she's like, oh, okay, that was kind of fun. And then at the very end of the movie, spoilers, she gets spanked again, and she's like, you're taking pleasure from this, and therefore I want to get out of this relationship. It's like, it's so fucking, like, I don't know. I understand this why she leaves the relationship. I do
talk about, actually, because, I feel like it's important that, especially in this first movie, that this is not a good representation of a BDSM relationship.
Because
while sadism is a word in one of those letters, he is a sadist in the way that he likes to punish people because they look like his mommy, and you learn more about that in the next movie. But she asked him to go all out and show her what it is to be punished by him. So that scene I get, and she recognized, okay, this isn't a good thing. and she gets out of the relationship, and that's the end of the movie. And I feel like if that was just the movie, the whole thing would be a lot stronger, maybe.
Kind of, I guess. But, like, my problem with it is, it's like, it seems like it's a big revelation for her. That she's like, oh my god, you're getting off on this. Bitch, he's been getting off on it for an hour and a half. We've seen 18 different sex scenes. It's very obvious what he gets off on. How are you this fucking blind to realizing at the very end? Like, it's ridiculous. And she's just blinded because she's in love with him. Right. And I don't know. That's another thing. It's just like, there's so many things he does that's weird that it's like, are you really in love with him? Would you continue doing this if it was your friend Jose, who's he's a photographer, Jose Rodriguez, played by Victor Rasuk. He's one of her photographer friends.
Right.
And he tries to kiss her when they're drunk, and she's obviously not into it. She's like, no. But it's just like, if let's just say that she can, you know, as friends, she hadn't, like, turned him down there. And then, like, they started dating, and then she finds out he's into all this kind of stuff. Would she jump him immediately? Because, probably like, Christian, not, like, it's like, why is she sticking with Christian? I don't get it, is really the thing. It's just like, he's a weird, creepy motherfucker.
He is super and it's just like, weird, and it is just because he's hot, I think, at first. But,
and tosses his money around like it's candy.
Right. There's something to her attraction to him besides the aloofness. I don't know what it is, though.
Money.
Probably. What's two closing statements on this movie?
I fucking hate it, man. it's fine. It's milquetoast. It's like,
right.
It's very weird. That's become one of my favorite words, milquetoast, by the way. Yeah. But it's just like, it's weird. I don't get it. I don't get the draw to it. It's softcore porn. Just go watch your real porn. Like, sure. They tried to make this into an actual porn movie. Somebody actually, like, this movie came out, but at the time of it coming out, there was a porn company that was making their own version of it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
This should be a porn film. It's just a fanfic novel is all it is, so it should just be, like, a fanfic cinema. It should just be low-budget porn. No, like, yeah, and like, that's not, like, how did it get this much money? I don't understand. Like, people went and seen this. Who the fuck is watching this in theaters? Like, we fucking got mad at Pee Wee Herman for this shit. And people just went out there like it was nothing and just, like, watched this movie in theaters.
See?
It's not a date night movie. Like, I don't get it. It
depends on your date. Like, if you've been with this person for a long time and you're looking for something to, like, maybe, you know, to spark and inspire, I could say, you know, turn to this movie.
If, watch it on your couch, with some popcorn and a drink. I'm saying it's not a date night, as in, let's go out to the theater with a bunch of other strangers and watch this softcore porn. 2.5 stars.
Yeah, it just barely gets a full face. It's okay. I mean, the most alluring parts to me were the sex scenes. And the story, I could really care less. So,
yeah. You got my hopes up because you watched the first one first, and sent me a message that had it's whatever and oh well a picture of an eggplant. Yeah. And I was just like, oh good, there's penis. That's what I want. If you're gonna do, yeah.
I was just my pants' reaction. That's all.
Oh, I see. I understand now. But at the time, I thought you were saying, hey, there's also penis.
Yeah, like, that and is I was the just most like, disappointing yes, part that's of my this rule. Trilogy, I think.
That is my rule. If I'm going to see boobs, I should also see a penis. Should be equal. I'm not that into penis. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like...
You get to see a lot of Dakota Johnson in this. And, you know, Jamie Dornan's chest and back are pretty fucking awesome, but he's wearing fucking sex jeans the whole fucking time.
Oh yeah, and anytime he's naked, he 100% has one of those like cinema socks on, where it's like, you know, don't worry, we're not actually touching.
Which is, you know, okay, but like, why not just give him a prosthetic penis and then show it?
Just show me the penis
legs or something. Yeah, we just want to see the penis.
Yeah, I'm not again. I am not physically that attracted by dick. Like, sure, there's nothing wrong with dick. I'm okay with that. Like, I mean, I'm not going to turn dick down if I'm interested in dick. Yeah. But when it comes to seeing either boobs... Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to seeing boobs or penis, I'm definitely going to be like, yeah, show me the boobs.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's going to be a big budget Hollywood film, there shouldn't be a choice. I want equal opportunity nudity here. I want to see boobs. I want to see penis. Jamie Dornan, show the fuck up.
Yeah, where you at there, Christian? Why should penis be this, like, more secret
taboo
than the boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like... Our chest, I mean, we don't worry about guys being shirtless, and it's nearly the same anatomy. They just don't.
Yeah,
they just don't.
That's what I'm saying. That's another thing too. I know people are gonna be like, well, if you're gonna show penis, show vagina. It's not the same. Showing. Yeah.
I mean, why not at the same amount, but...
Why not? Yeah, that's right. I mean, it is already a softcore porn. I'm just saying, it's like, female boobs do not equal male boobs. And therefore, female boobs equal the penis in regards to nudity.
I can agree, but, you know, that's only because of societal norms, obviously.
Yeah, clearly I care about societal norms. Let's move on. Real quick. Let's take a soda pop break because 50 Shades Darker and 50 Shades Free, they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we'll be right back to talk about penis, apparently.
Well, no, because there's still no penis in the next two.
There's still no penis. So if you were hoping there was penis, you could stop listening now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Jamie Dornan. One of your other roommates would have shown theirs.
Redman.
Redman. Definitely Redman.
We'll be back.
I love you. Alrighty there, couch potatoes. Let me explain real quick why part one... One reason why part one... is different than part two and three.
It's the same problem that we encounter with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Kind of, honestly. Like, it is. It's a completely different director. So, with 50 Shades of Grey, it was written by Kelly Marcel, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. I was curious because I saw Sam Taylor Johnson and I saw the name, obviously, Taylor Johnson, and I was like, huh, I wonder if this is the mom of Aaron Taylor Johnson, the actor who, you know, he was in Bullet Train? What was it called? And he's also rumored to be, you know, the next James Bond. I think he was one of the X-Men. I think he was the original Petrie, the original Quicksilver, that is. Not the original. In the Joss Whedon version, he was I think. Let me double check that real quick. Anyways, while I'm double checking that, I realized that Aaron Taylor Johnson is not the son of Sam Taylor Johnson or whatever her name was, the person who directed the first one. They're married. He's in his, like, you know, there's a good 20-year gap between them, and that's why I thought what I thought.
And now you're putting them on blast.
I'm putting them on blast, man. I'm thinking I was wrong. I don't think he was. Oh, yeah, he was Pietro Maximoff in The Winter Soldier. Oh, and in Age of Ultron.
The one where they make them Catholic for some reason instead of Jewish.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to put them on blast there real quick. But she did not return to direct 2 and 3. 2 and 3 are a completely different writer-director team. We have Neil Leonard writing and James Foley directing.
I have Neil. Is that wrong?
I assume it's pronounced Neil.
Do you? Like,
I don't know. Like,
that's,
I think
not,
it's just another.
You think it's,
I
Neil?
Think it's just another weird way to spell Neil.
It could be, but I would say whatever. They wrote it.
It doesn't have a pronunciation guide.
It doesn't.
I'm just assuming that. I don't know. I'm just assuming
they also
it's not
don't
Neil.
Have a page that we can click to from what we're using. Okay.
Because Neal just sounds like a drunk Southerner trying to say Neil.
It could be like, I don't know, an Indian name. It sounds, maybe. I think it's just Hindi Neil to me or something. Yeah. So this movie, it has a different director, different writer. Do they write the next ones as well? Work the next ones?
Yeah. 50 Shades Darker and Freed are hand in hand. They are almost filmed back to back. I just found out that Neil Leonard is the husband of E.L. James, the author.
Oh, wow.
And the photo I pulled up is hilarious. Like, very clearly, definitely not a Hindu Indian individual.
Okay.
he's like a pasty white dude with this, like, gross ginger beard.
He kind of looks like if Simon Pegg and Eric Idle had a baby.
Oh my god, yes! Yes.
They look like a lovely couple, though.
They do, I think indeed.
That might be some like Welsh or Irish spelling.
Irish.
Yeah.
The following pronunciation is brought to you by pronouncenames.com.
What is this shit?
Oh, I thought you were going to let it play.
Nile.
Hey, that's...
Nile.
Like I the said Nile. Did I say Nial?
Nial. Yeah, you said Nial.
Nial. Come on, Nial. Nile.
I like Nile. Nile's a good pronunciation cool of that.
Yeah, I like that.
Nile Leonard.
Okay, anyways, he wrote 50 Shades Darker, the screenplay of the book that his wife wrote as a sequel to 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes. We've got there. Oh my goodness. 50 Shades Darker. Almost immediately, Christian and Anna begin dating again because...
Right. He's like, I can do better. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, she's now an assistant editor at SIP, which is a publishing company in Seattle. SIP. It's very hip.
Well, they're trying to get hip. They're trying to get hip, and Anna helps them do that. But that's exactly in the long run of things.
Yeah, that's in the long run. But at first, her friend Jose Rodriguez, who I mentioned before the soda pop break, he's having a photography exhibit. Creepy thing is, most of the photos are Anna, and he didn't get her permission.
He did not say that was going to happen, that is for sure.
He got her permission to take the photos, I will say that. He didn't just, like, creepily take photos, but he didn't get the permission to display them, and that's just fucking weird, mate. Like, this whole guy, like, I don't know, I kind of kept expecting them to actually do something with Jose, because the dude's a fucking creep. They never do.
After they get married in the third movie.
Yeah, when they make the fourth film, he'll be the evil mastermind behind everything.
I'm sure of it. But he'll have a... He'll be acted by a different person because the master regenerated.
Exactly. Thank you, Doctor Who Corner. Anyways, Christian bought all the fucking photos of Anna. And because of that, you know, she decides, all right, you weirdo, you bought all these photos of me, my ex-boyfriend, like, that's creepy. Yeah. And he's just like, hey, let's have coffee. And she's like, all right, yeah, you are hot and you have a lot of money, let's have coffee. And when they go out to get coffee, Christian tells her that he wants her back and he's willing to put away all the BDSM toys and just have a vanilla relationship.
Yeah.
And there you go. That's what happens. They get into they rekindle the relationship.
That's right. It's no rules, no punishments, no secrets. And immediately you find out that Christian has some secrets.
Oh yeah.
They but also immediately they start using the BDSM stuff. So so they do not end up having a Manila relationship, but it's not like a dominant submissive thing.
Yeah, they're both very much more into it, and that's I will bring up that point that I was talked about prior, which was I like the sex better in this one, in the third one, because it feels more... I mean, it was consensual in the first one, too. But here it feels more romantic. It feels more like they're both into it. They both want this. It doesn't just seem like an answer to literally everything. It's more along the lines of, you know, we actually love each other and let's have sex. Yeah. Like, it's much better presented here than as opposed to the first one where it's like, you want a hot dog? I got a hot dog. Blah, 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 blah.
Just because I was curious if I got the idea that sadism was part of this BDSM, because I was like, oh, wait, maybe the S is for submission. But it is a smushed down abbreviation of these three things. Bondage and discipline, domination and submission, sadism and masochism. So it's kind of smashed together.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I knew the first two. I did not know the middle one. I like that. That's genius.
Yeah,
that's what we call expert naming.
back to this. So she works for this guy named Jack Hyde, who is a real jack off.
Great naming scheme.
Yeah, you couldn't tell where that was going for sure. But right. He's an editor, and he's like, you know, he's talking himself up as a good teacher and whatever. And he obviously has his eye on Anna as, you know, as a potential sexual partner.
Love interest.
A love interest. Thank you. That's better.
Then, well, he really is just thinking of it as a sexual partner.
He,
but
he is.
From the viewer's perspective, it's like, ooh, this could be a challenger for Christian Grey's love. Right.
But like, Christian comes
at least
in
at the very first.
Did you say who played Jake? Eric Johnson? Is that?
Oh, no,
not,
I
hope they're not related. Anyhow,
they could be. Don Johnson is a creepy motherfucker. Like,
who knows?
I was looking into Don Johnson, and I found that he technically groomed Dakota Johnson's mother because they met when she was 14 and Don Johnson was like 23. And then they moved in when she was 15.
No.
And then they got married when she was 18. And then he immediately divorced her within like 5 months.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Gross. Okay, well, moving on. Jack Hyde is really gross in this. And he, after Christian comes in, he gets all jealous and starts being mean to Anna. And he's like, you have to go to New York with me for this expo. You're expected to be there, even though I never once said that you were supposed to be there.
Right?
Yeah. And so she like mentions it to Christian, and he's immediately goes back to being super controlling. And is like, absolutely not. This is not happening. Anyhow, after they do talk about it, Anna does decide maybe it is a bad idea. And she goes to the office to find Jack, who's there alone.
Yeah.
Great
setup there.
Yeah, for real. To say, I'm not going to New York with you. And he's like, how are you going to learn if you don't take these advantages? And then he shuts the door of the office, and you immediately know what's going to happen. And he tries to sexually assault her, and she gets away with it by, you know, kicking him in the nuts eventually, which is good. That's what you do.
Yes.
And
that's what you do.
If you can't do that, keep scream as much as you can. If you can't do that, piss yourself.
Yes.
That's what I've heard.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah,
but and also, do you scream fire? Is that still considered a thing?
Because I don't know.
That never made sense to me.
Yeah, because then everybody could run and then
away. Yeah,
and then they run away from you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was like, that's why I never understood it, because it's like, you don't want to yell. Apparently, you didn't want to yell rape because people wouldn't come to your aid or whatever. But I remembered somebody telling me to yell fire, and I'm like, but wouldn't that just make everybody leave the building?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe somebody will call the cops or something.
Do the other things, though.
Maybe.
Scream definitely. But
yeah.
Pee yourself, kick in the nuts. Do whatever you need to. We are not experts.
We're not experts. We haven't had to deal with much assault in our life. But,
And don't
fuck that guy up.
take
fuck him up. Yeah, fuck this person fuck, up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beat their living ass. Also, don't take what I said about Don Johnson as entirely truthful without doing your own research.
Yeah.
Just saying that in case Don Johnson wants to give me a lawsuit.
Same.
I don't know all of the research. I know. Yeah. I know what I read on Wikipedia. Speaking of.
Okay.
But yes, Jack Hyde is a creepy fucking weirdo, and he immediately gets fired in a very odd and awkward move, especially since Christian Grey is the owner of SIP now.
Yeah.
Anna becomes the new stand-in editor.
Yeah, she takes his job basically right away, and everybody's like, that's because her...
She's banging the boss's boss.
Yeah, the boss, your boss's boss comes a thing.
But that's the weird thing for me. That was the whole problem, is like the company atmosphere, the whole setup, just it's lending itself to the issues that happen in the third movie. And and are only issues for like one scene that it's immediately resolved. But it's just like nobody knows why Jack got fired. Nobody knows why he left. They kept that completely under wraps. Like, obviously people were just like, I think he was having a lot of issues, you know, but like, nobody says anything. But then, randomly, sorry, I'm getting messages and it's distracting me. But then randomly, the individual who basically got him fired for good reason is the one who gets a promotion the literal next day. Yeah. And her boss is the one she's having sex with.
Right.
So it's just like, it's just weird, you know? It's just like, if you look into it in a on paper, it looks like this guy bought the company and then got the CEO fired so that his girl could become the editor, not the CEO.
Right.
Got the editor fired so his girl could become the editor.
Make it clear that that is not the case. And though they're
movie-wise, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, on paper,
everybody's clearly setting themselves up.
Yeah. Yeah, if an investigation were to happen, which it might, on paper it's going to look very, very awkward.
But that's when the bosses come forward and is like, no, before Christian Grey even considered buying this place, she showed a lot of promise, and that's the person we would have picked to fill the spot.
But somebody there should know why he got fired.
Like,
some of the bosses, you don't have to tell the entire company. But the fact that none of them went to the police and were like, hey, just so you know, Jack Hyde's a rapist, sexual harasser, and this is why we fired him.
I kind of think that Anna probably would be in more trauma. I mean, she got away. She got away. It's close call. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That fucks with you.
It's still an awful situation that it's like, it's still terrifying. It's still, and of course, what was her response to it? Her and Christian had sex immediately afterwards. Immediately.
Yeah. That part was weird to me. I totally agree. That part was weird.
It's their, it's their response to everything. It's what their entire relationship's built off of.
Jack Hyde.
It's good writing.
Jack Hyde kind of stops right there, point blank, for a hot minute anyways. And the danger
for movie two.
Yeah, and the danger in this actually comes from Layla. Layla Williams, played by Bella Heath Cote. She just kind of shows up in the street one day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like just this weird ghostly thing. And you know that it's going to have to deal with Christian because she's stalking Anna. And you find out that she's an ex-submissive of his, and she's... a little unhinged because the man that she married after Christian died. And so she's she's had a nervous break and is now trying to do anything she can to get back with Christian. And basically he has to show his dominance thing to get control of a very dangerous situation. That's how I'll put it. And Anastasia doesn't like that.
Yeah.
Anastasia doesn't like
that. Yeah.
But they still are together at the end.
But it's just like a lot of her worry throughout this entire movie is that Christian needs that sadism in his life. He needs to be the dominant. He needs to have that control and that power. And so she's like, I don't know if I can fix him. You know, it's like, I don't know if I can change who he is. And when he shows his true self here, you know, that's how she sees it. He's showing his true self. But, I mean, at the same time, I mean, he didn't need to go as far as he did in that scene. But
it subdued her. And, like, and we're saying, like, he did something big and creepy. He literally only used his words. But
it
showed how much of a controlling relationship he had with this woman. And that scares.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, and, closing statements on this one.
They still end together, and, you know, hooray, hurrah. They're kissing, they're engaged at the end, even.
Yeah.
Leading us into the third movie. It's a little better than the first one, mainly because there's actual drive. There's a villain. There's something happening. It's not just two people who are fucking, and the fucking is like, oh god, it's kind of bad fucking, you know? Oh my goodness.
It's good, now here, but it's like, bad.
It's good, but it's bad. Oh my. No, here it's just like, there's an actual story arc. There's something developing. You know, it's pretty fucking stupid still, but it's a 2.5 still, but it's a little better than the first one, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's a bit better, too, but it also only gets a full face. Yeah, I thought that the whole thing was interesting. Oh, another thing we didn't talk about, though, was that there's a lot with Elena in this movie. Elena Lincoln being played by Kim Basinger. She took Christian's virginity when he was 15. So, really, you know, by the legal standard and by our moral philosophy, she sexually assaulted him when he was a child.
Yes. And taught him BDSM.
He was her submissive. And she's still in his life. And that really bothers Anastasia. Like, a lot. And it boils down to them getting in a fight at Mrs. Gray's house, being
his
mother, the doctor.
Christian's adoptive
Grace
mother.
Grace Trevelyan Gray, played by Marcia Gay Harden, who... Shut up!
I'm so sorry. That is the perfect last name. Gay Harden.
She is currently starring in a show called Better Off Todd. I think she's interesting.
Is he better off? Is he better off?
He's better off Todd. I don't know.
I'll have to watch to find out, I guess, yeah.
But
I understand.
Maybe I'm getting it wrong, because there definitely was a Better Off Ted. But whatever. Anyways.
Oh, I'm just saying, I was just wondering to feel better off.
I don't know.
I guess I'll have to watch to find out.
But
it all boils down to one iconic line, which is just the best written line in movie history, in my opinion. This fight, that is, between Elena and Christian and Anna. And that line is, Jamie Dornan delivers it as Christian Grey. It's beautiful. You taught me how to fuck. Anna taught me how to love.
And Grace overhears this and is like, you're disgusting, Elena. Get the fuck out of my house.
Oh my god. I replayed that 3 times. That was so funny. Like, it's such a great line. Like, that's what I want to hear my future husband say to his former dominant. I want him to, you taught me how to fuck. She taught me how to love. I would be so embarrassed in that moment. I'd be like, oh, what kind of relationship am I in? I don't like this guy at all.
Okay, so next movie. They get
Let's
married.
Free ourselves.
Yeah.
Yay.
50 Shades Freed is what it's called. Christian and Anna get married, but they have to cut their honeymoon short because Jack Hyde has infiltrated Christian Grey's corporate headquarters.
I thought it was because Anna got pregnant with Christian's monster child that was gonna rip itself out of her body.
That's later. Oh,
wait, that's Twilight. That's Twilight. I remember.
So, yeah, anyhow, they go back and they start being protected by Jason Taylor, who they have been throughout the show, who plays Taylor.
Yeah, he's the most he's the most great character.
Max Martini. Why is he not? He's like in every fucking scene. Oh, also,
oh my god, she gets, that's like a James Bond villain name, Max Martini.
Yeah, that's a pretty good name. That's she a does fucking get great name, two Max. Other people to be
her. Sawyer and Prescott.
Yeah, Sawyer and Prescott.
Like,
yeah.
Isn't that like the like I feel like that's a security team name and like everywhere. Like, it is the most basic security bodyguards. Like, I actually like it, but at the same time, I'm just like, what in the fuck? I feel like I've heard of this before somewhere else.
Yeah, and Prescott actually is hardly ever there, the female bodyguard.
She gets one scene, which is, like, where she gets to point a gun at somebody's head, and she's like, put the knife on the ground!
Put the knife on the ground! So, anyhow... Yeah, she keeps on getting in trouble by almost getting hurt by Jack Hyde, who's really going crazy. And that's pretty much the plot of the whole movie, except for she also gets pregnant, not with a monster child, just a regular child.
No, but just a regular that we know of.
Christian is distraught about this because he really does not want to be a father, at least not right now. And
when he finds out, he flips the shit, man.
He does. And he's like, you forgot your shot? Yeah.
He's so mad. He's like, I had plans for us. Like,
yeah, it's like, okay, dude, you're still a billionaire. You probably don't have to even look at this kid if you don't want to.
Like, no, have you not looked at the Trump family? He literally, Donald Trump just had a speech where he thanked everybody in his family but Eric. And it's like, bro, you have a whole kid that you forgot about. Like, Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, man. That's the worst. So, yeah, I just... So you find out a whole bunch of things, I guess, about...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's an actual story here.
Yeah, apparently, So, apparently Christian and Jack shared a foster home. Christian doesn't really remember this. It kind of makes sense because he has a very traumatic past. But Hyde was always jealous of him because he felt like that should have been his opportunity. And so...
Right. I should have gotten rich and famous. God damn it.
Yeah, he thinks he's a self-made
billionaire. I should have been a self-made billionaire. Yeah,
he's just a rapist and a blackmailer. And you find out that he blackmails basically everybody that he comes in contact with.
It's really disgusting too. Like, he has an accomplice. We'll say we won't give away who the accomplice is in case you want to watch these films still. but he has an accomplice, and the only reason she is working with him is because he videotaped her having sex and was threatening to release it, like, everywhere. Yeah. Like, that is how disgusting this fucking guy is.
Yeah.
Like, horrible monster. But because of the actions that we mentioned in 50 Shades Darker, i.e. Christian buying the company, immediately firing the editor, and then hiring his girlfriend as the editor, because of those actions, which is not exactly how it works out, but that's basically how it looks on paper... You know, the cops are like, hey, we have to investigate this situation because this is what Jack Hyde is saying happened. And obviously, as the detective says, he's like, what I believe doesn't really matter. Detective's hero, Kanagawa, playing Detective Clark.
Yeah.
He's like, what I think doesn't really matter, but I think this guy's a sick, disgusting pig who's going to say whatever he can to get out of jail. However, on paper... What he's saying has a lot of ground because that's pretty much what the fuck just happened.
It does look like
and
this.
It's like
it looks and like
you didn't
this
tell
a lot.
People that he sexually harassed you. If you had filed a lawsuit or something and brought it forth that this is what happened, we wouldn't have to have this fucking investigation.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to attack people. I understand bringing a sexual harassment lawsuit is a very daunting challenge. It's very scary,
it's personal.
Very personal.
It's never not personal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to attack anybody who doesn't, you know, feel like they have a voice. However, in this movie, in this situation, what is on paper looks so, it's so horribly written. That's basically what I'm trying to get at. It's so horribly written. And it brings this whole situation up where he's like, I have to investigate this. And then he turns around, there's just no fucking investigation. It doesn't fucking matter after that scene. So it was just like, what was the point of any of this? I didn't understand why we went through all this stupidity for something that didn't matter anyways. It was, it's bad writing. That's all I'm trying to get at, is it's bad writing. Yeah. And what's even worse writing, I'm sorry to continue on, but what's even worse writing is later on, when Jack Hyde is free, he calls up Anna and he's like, hey, you got to get $2 million to me or I'm going to kill Christian's sister.
Yeah, Maya. Maya is played by Rita Ora.
Oh, I know that name. She's a crossword clue a lot in the Washington Post.
Huh, I wonder why. Huh.
Never recognized that
probably
shit. It was
because
this
of the R's and the O.
Yeah. O-R-A. It's usually like Rita blank of something and it's always O-R-A just so they can get those common three-letter areas. Anyways, but what's bad writing though is she goes to the bank and she's like, hey, I need to withdraw $2 million, and like all of this is red flags.
Yeah,
I don't want to give too much away about my personal life, but I work at a bank.
Oh yeah,
I work at a financial institution, and the huge amount of red flags that the bank manager is presented with,
right,
and still allows for this transaction to take place. No, it's not happening. I'm sorry. No matter how dangerous of a situation.
Right?
But it's just like, no matter, I mean, yeah, I think her name was on the account, honestly, because he made that account for her or whatever. But it's just like, no matter how much in danger you, the manager, think she's in,
right,
you're not going to allow her to go further into danger.
Yeah.
No manager, no competent manager at least, would allow this entire situation to take place. And he's very clearly alerted to the red flags. He himself is nervous about it.
Yeah.
But he allows it to happen because he calls Christian. And Christian's like, yeah, it's totally fine. Let her go ahead and do it. No. Even with that confirmation over a phone, no less, you don't get to have a confirmation over a phone like that without answering a shit ton of questions.
Right.
Yeah. None of which Christian answer.
But it's a
movie.
It's
not going to happen. It's a movie. It's got to happen for the third act. You can hear in my voice, I haven't talked in forever because I'm sick. And you can hear my whole voice is just like, I'm just like, I'm so mad that I have no more fluids in my throat. It's all just dryness.
Oh, boy. So, anyhow, Christian's like, okay, Anna did this, and my sister's missing. Ding dong, uh-oh, it must be Jack Hyde. They save Anna after she's been kicked the shit out of by Jack Hyde. What a fuck.
Yeah, in her pregnant belly.
In her pregnant belly, yeah. So, that's how the movie ends. The baby's okay, by the way, for those of who are waiting for me to say that. So spoiled that whole movie, but I think we can do closing statements. I'll go ahead and start. I think that this movie builds on the other movie as well, but it makes less sense. So
yes, so much less sense.
And it's just another okay movie. Like, all of these movies have a very Hallmark or Lifetime feel to them.
Yeah,
but then you add sex and BDSM to it.
it's a low budget porno for Hallmark.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah, it's late night Hallmark. So, yeah, I give it another full face. They all three get a full face. What did you think of 50 Shades Darker?
50 Shades Freed.
Freed, yeah, sorry.
It's fine. I agree with you. It builds off the last one, But it's just so stupid. Like, it makes me actively mad in its stupidity. And that's why the 50 Shades Darker continues the Empire Strikes Back trend of being the middle child who did so much better than all of them.
Uh-huh.
I will go ahead and lift 50 Shades Darker as the victor.
I think so, too.
But
yeah.
I agree with you that they all get the same rating. 50 Shades Freed is 2.5 stars. That's out of 5, again. I don't want people to think I'm giving it 2.5 out of 4. It's not getting that good of a grade. it's fine. You know, it's what you want,
I
guess.
If
you
watch your
movies
for boobies, then it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Do not. This is another, like, Harley Quinn Joker situation. Don't idolize their relationship,
Christian
and Anna. I do appreciate that it gets stronger.
Yeah, it
is very stronger. They have actual conversations.
Good.
He's very closed off emotionally, which makes sense given his past.
Yeah,
I won't attack him for that. And he does try to better himself.
Yeah,
I applaud him. I applaud this relationship.
I just
don't
feel like
idolize this relationship.
That all could have happened in the first movie, or they should have made it so that the abusive tendencies that Christian had were more prevalent in the first movie,
yeah,
and her leaving being her triumph, and that's the end of the whole saga. That would have been a lot better. I feel like 50 Shades of Grey has a very strong movie adaptation out there in the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. That it's called The Graduate. Am I wrong?
That's the prequel. Oh, shit. But he was an adult, though, okay?
Yeah.
He just was also into her daughter, which that is what was actually
if that was inspiration for this, too. I know Twilight was, like, the main inspiration, of course. But I wonder if, like, what other movies had an impact on this, because, like, I made the joke off mic, but it's like there's a moment in the first movie that's very the Thomas Crown Affair when they're air gliding, remember? And it's like, as I was watching, I'm just like, did he watch the Thomas Crown Affair? Because I'm just like, I'm very curious if this director was just like, oh yeah, that's hot, that's very romantic thing to do. And it is. I would love, that's one of my ideal dream dates. If anybody I date wants to take me air gliding, by all fucking means.
I thought it
that'd
was
be
so weird that that was like an actual thing that was carried over into the second, the remake of that movie. That that fucking Mike made us watch.
Hey man, I liked that movie. That was an actual Pierce Brosnan one was actually enjoyable.
Not bad. And you know, the I didn't think the Steve McQueen one was bad, but it was
I couldn't even remember it was Steve McQueen, but yeah, you're
I
right.
Think
it
it's
is
Steve
yeah.
McQueen.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Well, I think we did it. I think we did the show.
We did. This has been fun. I really appreciated this this Patreon pick. I'm not even kidding. This was enjoyable. I love attacking films like this in a fun way, and I think 50 Shades really offers itself up for that kind of criticism
where it's
like, look, we know you're going to laugh, but at the same time, did you get hard? And I did not, but you know, I think it accomplishes its jobs for most testosterone-fueled individuals out there.
I will say yes.
Yeah.
It gets my Abergine stamp.
Yeah, if you're on the couch with us throughout this one, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it.
6 inches minimum distance between each other.
Yeah. I was going to say, yes, those stains are exactly what you think they are.
Gosh.
I am the Green Traveler from Gorsh.
And I am the Faceless Leon. Sorry about the stains. Safe travels and good night.
Green and Faceless on the Couch is a proud production of Fiction Works 19. Are you a fan of the show? Feel free to contact us at greenandfacelessfans@gmail.com or visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/greenandfaceless. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe, or rate us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.